What am I talking about? I'm getting ahead of myself. We're talking about the Joe Exotic series that was supposed to be coming to Amazon Prime. Hello, Nerdy Legion. I'm still working out a couple of audio bugs, so I apologize if the audio is not quite to your expectations, but it is what it is, I guess, at the moment. Anyway, this is the most recent episode of Comic Talk Headlines right here on Comic Talk Today, brought to you by the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. If you have not subscribed to this show or any of the other awesome shows that we have on the network, then go please, while you're listening, you can click the subscribe button. And after you've listened, then go check out the other ones. So I am Dustin. This is the nerd news that is worth talking about. And we got a little bit of housekeeping to knock out of the way real quick. Okay, nerds, real quick, housekeeping again for this episode. We're pushing social media. So that's going to actually look a little bit different this time around. I'm going to toy with a couple of different things probably over the next few episodes. So that being said, again, I am trying for some media credentials. I'm trying to get press passes to Comic-Con so that I can get some bigger interviews. And so I can, you know, things will be a little bit easier for me and easier to create the content that you come here looking for. And for those of you on the audio, this will be a new kind of content for the feed. So definitely find me on the social medias. Twitter is @generally_nerdy. Instagram is just @generallynerdy. Likewise on Facebook, or you can follow the gaming page on Facebook as well, Generally Nerdy Gaming. There's a photo page up there too. If you like the photography stuff that I do on the YouTube channel, then check out the photo page over on Facebook as well, Generally Nerdy Photo. The big ones, though, are the Twitter, the main Facebook page, Generally Nerdy. There's also a group, Generally Nerdy, the group, that's also linked on the Facebook page, and also Instagram, @Generally Nerdy. So go follow those if you would be so kind. I appreciate your faces. And the other half of housekeeping is in the form of shout-outs, because I am trying to do this big push, so I need to acknowledge those that are helping me get there. New subscribers, longtime subscribers, all of that stuff. So first off, we're going to start with Martin over at Nerdy Legion, at Geekvine on the Twitters. Go follow him too, because he's chock full of wonderful information in this nerdy world that we call home. In that same vein, at Nerdy Legion on Twitter as well is the podcast network that I am a part of. So go follow Nerdy Legion as well too, also, if you would please. And then as far as like shout outs for subscribers and listeners, we have longtime subscriber. I'm just going to use his screen name, though I do know his real name in real life because he's that much of an OG. We're talking about Mr. Silence 3518. Thank you very much, buddy, for being around, coming back after the break and all that jazz. I appreciate you engaging on the channel and all that. And then my newest subscriber over on the YouTube is Thomas Leroy. So thank you very much for subscribing, Mr. Thomas Leroy. That is our housekeeping. Let's talk news. TV streaming is a little different today, kind of average length, but we have a really interesting follow-up for you. And technically it's a follow-up because it's something I probably mentioned in passing in an episode probably months and months ago, and then we'd never really touched base on it again because there wasn't a whole lot of developments. What am I talking about? I'm getting ahead of myself. We're talking about the Joe Exotic series that was supposed to be coming to Amazon Prime. Well, it's no longer coming to Amazon Prime. Joe Exotic has been shelved, is the term that they're using, but really that just means they're not moving forward with it. Nicolas Cage is not going to get to play Joe Exotic on your TV screen or phone screen or wherever you watch your Amazon Prime shows. Nicolas Cage, she's gonna have to look for a different job. I don't know. It's just really hilarious that they were going to make this at all, and it was going on a Netflix rival, and that it was going to star Nicolas Cage as Joe freaking Exotic, and now it's just not happening. So yeah, that's our one follow-up for the episode. We do have a trailer to touch on real quick, and that trailer is for Witcher Season 2. Remember, WitcherCon happened just a few days ago, and we talked about it in the last episode at the beginning of the WitcherCon, and now we are post-WitcherCon. And Season 2 trailer is out. It's a teaser trailer, so it's relatively short. Worth a watch. If you're a Witcher fan, definitely some hype going on there. I still have to watch Season 1, but we're moving on. So our two actual pieces of news for this section. One is an interesting streaming update. So those of you who own Samsung TVs, who brought them within the last, I believe they've been doing this for about a decade now, know that this already exists. Samsung TV Plus is a streaming service, was exclusive for Samsung smart device holders. So if you bought your smart device within the last roughly decade, then you had access to Samsung TV Plus. Well, now they have made Samsung TV Plus available for free to everybody. So all of us cord cutters, all of us that have kind of been wallowing looking for free programming without having to pay for a premium service, are getting all kinds of stuff now. This one is a little bit different from like Tubi and Pluto and those kind of free streaming services, in that you have to have access to a web browser on your device. So if you're on an older smart TV that doesn't have a web browser, or you have just, you know, whatever smart device that is, again, going to be a little bit older because there's no browser, then you kind of SOL. But if you do have access to a browser, or if you can just hook your freaking computer up to your TV, then you can do this. Samsung TV Plus is only available through a browser at the moment. There are no official apps in any app stores as of yet. It does sound like that is the direction they want to go, but this is kind of huge. Again, for if you're a cable cutter, then you've got a lot of free programming at your fingertips. Pluto is probably the best so far, but if Pluto is free, Tubi is free, T-U-B-I. There used to be free Hulu, but that's a whole other story. And now we have Samsung TV Plus, and there's on-demand programming on all three of those, as well as live programming on all three of those. So it's definitely worth a look if you are just looking for some more free content. There you go. Our final piece has to do with Mike Flanagan. Mike Flanagan's next project is going to be called Something is Killing the Children. Why are we talking about this guy, Mike Flanagan? Because Mike Flanagan is amazing. Mike Flanagan, again, for those that don't know, is the guy that brought us The Haunting of Hill House, its sequel just last year, Haunting of Bly Manor. Woo, I almost forgot that. And he also is the one that did Dr. Sleep. So definitely well-versed in the horror genre, and this is going to be another addition. This also will be headed to Netflix. It does not sound like it is another one of the Haunting series. So that was kind of a weird way to phrase that. It's not part of the Haunting series, like Bly Manor and Hill House. It's going to be its own separate thing. So it sounds like we're not going to be seeing those actors from those two series make a return in this one. Though that's not to say that there's not going to be another Haunting series come out, just not right now. So that's all we really know right now, is that he has the go-ahead from Netflix to do the thing. He's still developing the thing. We will be keeping tabs on it because, yes, please. That, though, is all of TV streaming. Now we get into movies. In movies, we're going to talk a couple of follow-ups. First, very briefly, we will talk about Black Widow. Black Widow... It's noteworthy. So there's a couple of kind of noteworthy things here for Black Widow. First up, it is noteworthy that this is such a huge release. I am not going to disparage that part of it at all. This is definitely the largest release we have had, but we still have all of these caveats to quantify that statement. It's the largest release we've had post-COVID, I saw one outlet talking about it's the largest, and there was like five, I am not exaggerating in this, five different quantifications in order to make this sound like some sort of giant thing that it really wasn't. In the grand scheme of things, if you look pre-COVID numbers, if you look just generally how Marvel movies do, if you look how Disney movies do, this is towards the middle, but kind of the bottom middle of the pack as far as releases go. They were anticipating, depending on which outlet you're talking about, they were anticipating anywhere from 90 million to 110. I think I even saw one outlet go as high as $115 million for opening weekend. It actually did $80 million for opening weekend, which is respectable. It's not quite broken even just yet. So the last numbers I looked at, we were just crossing over $160 million worldwide. So the $80 million is domestic. The worldwide numbers were much larger in their projections. And so far, we have not hit either domestic or worldwide projections. So that's not to say that it's a bad thing. That's not to say that Disney's going to throw in the towel. It's just to say we kind of over-anticipated post-COVID. The other noteworthy thing about this is that of the 80 million domestic, they haven't released the international numbers for this yet, but of those domestic numbers, 60 million dollars, so well over half, approximately three quarters of that number is from streaming. So what that tells us, 60 million, if you have to pay $30 to stream it into your home, then approximately 2 million people paid the $30 instead of going to the theater to watch this movie, which kind of tells us a lot of things. It's telling us that people aren't quite comfortable to go back to the theaters yet, which is kind of understandable. I can see that. It's also telling us that those numbers are a little bit more inflated than probably somebody who isn't quite the size of Disney Marvel would be able to push on right now. So it seems a little artificial to me because that $30 price point is so high. They made a lot of money because they don't have to share that $30 ahead price point necessarily with anybody other than the people that directly made the movie. They don't have to share that with the theater goers or the theater companies or anything like that. But it also means that less people saw the movie because that $30 price point theoretically covers approximately four people, right? So probably more like two to four people. And if you were to go to a theater and just buy tickets, you could probably get five to six people into a movie for approximately $30. Depends on, obviously, what theater you're going to, so on and so forth. But theaters are doing things right now trying to get people into their butts in seats. And it's just this weird, like, shell game with how many tickets they sold and how much money they made. So if they had sold a bunch of tickets, we wouldn't be hearing these Disney Plus numbers. But because they didn't sell a bunch of tickets, that's why they're letting us know what the Disney Plus numbers are. So it just seems a little shady. Congratulations, though, to everyone involved in making the movie, because it does look like you will break even at the very, very least while it's in theaters, which means you're going to be making all of that profit in the home theater or the home release. So streaming, digital, Blu-ray, so on and so forth. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, that I just had to kind of clear that up a little bit, and I hope I did for you, because if you're one to be a little bit more conservative or Gamergate type, then you are want to believe that it's doing terribly and Disney's disavowing it and Scarlett Johansson's glad she's gone and blah, 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 blah. Or if you're on the opposite side of that coin and you just believe everything Disney says wholeheartedly without questioning anything, then you think it's doing this amazing job and it's, you know, they're Scarlett Johansson is toying with the idea of coming back to the MCU, all of which is unfounded and all of which is not accurate. The accurate statement is, it did okay. It's going to continue to do okay. And that's not a bad thing. It's not necessarily a great thing either, but it's pretty good. So yeah, moving right along. Sorry, wasting way too much time on that. our next follow-up has to do with Star Trek. We have been keeping tabs on this all the way through. Last time we heard, there was a Noah Hawley script that was somewhere in development in the early stages of pre-production, and it sounds like that is either on hold or just completely been shelved, because now we have an official announcement that the new movie has a director, and that's Matt Shackman, who has done episodes of the WandaVision, has done episodes of a number of nerdy properties. And also we have a script from writers Lindsay Beer and Geneva Robertson Dwarrett. I did not look up the credentials for the writers, and the press release doesn't have any of the credentials for the writers, which I found a little odd, but we do have a Star Trek script, we do have a director for a Star Trek script, and we do know that this Star Trek movie is set to go into production, active photography, in the spring of 22. So we're very likely to see it probably sometime end of 22, beginning of 23, roughly. So they've got a lot of work to do over the next 8-ish months before they can get into active production. And I'm super excited. I want to, no word on which timeline this is going to be, if it's going to be Kelvin, if it's going to be a new timeline, if we're going to somehow revisit the original timeline. All of that is up in the air. As we get more info, we will be talking about it right here on the show. But that is all we have for follow-ups. Next, we do have a trailer to talk about, kind of. It's not really a new trailer necessarily, but it is a new reaction to an older trailer. Free Guy, the trailer has been on the internet for probably a couple of months at this point, but we do have Ryan Reynolds doing a reaction to this. Now, that's kind of noteworthy in and of itself, because Ryan Reynolds can do no wrong right now in the nerd community, but also because it's not technically Ryan Reynolds, it's Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. So Deadpool is doing a reaction with Korg. It's pretty funny. It's definitely not through the roof funny, but I think that's really partially due to the involvement of Korg. There is some great Deadpool moments here, and I really feel like the play between Deadpool and Korg was the thing that kind of drug this down a little bit. If you would have let Reynolds go a little more ham with his Deadpool and just the play, the way he was attacking the situation versus the way Taika Waititi's Korg was attacking the situation, I feel like that would have been the better way to go. But as it stands, it's still pretty freaking funny and definitely worth a watch. So go look that up. Link can be found down in the show notes. But yeah, so that's our one trailer. And now we're going to get into the news. So Evil Dead, it's not the remake, but Evil Dead is in the news, the original movie, because 40-year anniversary is freaking upon us, which is really makes me feel old, but I'm not quite that old. So there you go. But the 40-year anniversary is being celebrated by Fathom Events and the people who own the rights to the original production. So it will be back in theaters. It will be a Fathom Events event. It will be in theaters October 7th, but tickets go on sale August 13th. If you are looking to get your tickets, every time they do something like this, it sells out almost immediately, so you should probably jump on it as soon as you can the morning of August 13th, because it very likely will sell out in hours, if not minutes. So that is something to be aware of, and it's pretty freaking awesome. We are continuing right along, though. Next, we're talking about Blue's Clues. Well, that's quite the switch. Going from one of the goriest, craziest horror movies to Blue's Clues. Blue's Clues is getting its own movie. It's getting Blue's Clues. I forget the entire title. No release date for it just yet, but this is a 25-year anniversary, which I didn't realize Blue's Clues was quite that old. I knew it was a little past my time, but like I didn't realize it was that close to being, you know, when I was an actual kid. So very interesting. just thought it was a weird thing that stuck out in the news, so I brought it up. So there you go. All of you younger millennials and Gen Zers who grew up with Blue's Clues, you're getting a movie if that's something that you wanted. I don't even know. Nickelodeon's a weird place right now, so maybe it is and I just was unaware. Our final piece for movies for this section, for this episode rather, is The Wheel of Time. So this one's really interesting because we already have a Wheel of Time project that is going to Amazon, that is being that's a production that is between Sony and Amazon Pictures. It's going to be on Amazon Prime. It's going to be a series, though, and it is going to be in the same time as the story from the books. So all of this is TV streaming information. We now have a movie series that has been announced. It's going to be three movies. The production companies involved here are from iWatt Productions and Radar Pictures. They have brought in Zach Stenz to write the script for the first movie. The first movie is going to be set in an era of the mythology known as the Age of Legends, which is approximately a millennia before the first book takes place. So very interesting there. No word yet as to who's going to pick up these movies for release, for mass, you know, if it's going to go into theaters, or if it's going to go to Netflix, or if it's going to go Amazon Prime, so on and so forth, etc., etc. But really freaking interesting that Amazon didn't just snatch it up immediately. And also, I thought that Amazon had exclusive live action rights, not just TV rights. So we'll be keeping tabs on this one as well. But that is everything we have for movies. Okay. Rumor mill. It's an interesting one. All right, so first up, this honestly could have been just video game rumors because I found a bunch of them. Not all of them made it into the episode, but there were quite a few that was like, yeah, you know, you're not even worth talking about. But we're starting things off. We do have two refutations of rumors. First up is one that's kind of been floating around for a little while, ever since the Warner Brothers Discovery merger. We've been hearing rumors that certain areas of Warner Brothers are not going to be part of the merger, and so they're going to be up for sale because the WB doesn't want anything to do with them. And one of those parts of Warner Brothers was actually a subdivision of a subdivision, is NetherRealm Studios very specifically, and apparently TT Games, which I didn't know was part of this, but there was another rumor that kind of hatched and then was addressed since our last episode that specifically named NetherRealm and TT, saying that they're both going to be sold off because they're not part of the merger. WB wants no more WB Games. All of that stuff is going over to the Discovery side. Discovery didn't want the NetherRealm TT Games to be part of it. That was the rumor. Warner Brothers has come out pretty quickly, again, because this has all happened since our last episode, saying that no, actually, both of those studios are going to be part of the merger. Both of those studios do have a healthy home as far as the merger is concerned, so they will not be affected, from the sounds of it, by this merger necessarily. It could be a good affect if it is affected at all. Our other refutation is a Harley Quinn rumor that we must address, because again, I while I do agree with certain things on the conservative side of the nerddom, I just cannot. I cannot co-sign on silliness. So Margot Robbie, in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, said that she felt a little burnt out and that she is going to be taking a break from the character. This does not mean that she has quit. This does not mean that she's never going to be Harley Quinn again. This simply means that as far as she's concerned, there's not going to be any Harley Quinn for a little while, at least not as played by her. It is possible we could see, because Warner Brothers is doing a lot of this Elseworlds stuff, if you want to believe the rumors. So the Elseworlds stories could include a different Harley Quinn, much like we're very likely going to be getting a different Commissioner Gordon in the Batgirl movie. that, yeah, sure. Or a different version of Harley Quinn in The Batman, because it's a different Batman from the Harley, from the Batman that she interacted with in the Snyder movies. So, saying that she's quit, saying that she has quit is disingenuous. And I'm going to read to you specifically what she said in the interview. So here we go. She said, "It was kind of back-to-back filming Birds and then filming this." This being the Suicide Squad movie with James Gunn. "So I was kind of like, oof, I need a break from Harley because she's exhausting. I don't know when we're next going to see her. I'm just as intrigued as everyone else." So yes, sure, that last line kind of implies that she doesn't have any plans to return to the character, but she also doesn't have any plans to be 100% done with the character. So for us to pull the trigger and say, "Oh, she's quit because she hates X, Y, and Z," and blah, 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 that's, again, super disingenuous. So it just needed to be addressed and squashed a little bit. So let's move into the actual rumors. So kicking off this rumor section, we're talking about Grand Theft Auto 6. Now, this one has kind of been refuted a little bit, but we're going to get into that. So Grand Theft Auto 6, it's a leak, technically, but we always cover leaks as rumors because effectively that's what they are. Anytime that we get a leak, it's usually somebody wishful thinking who has a little bit too much time on their hands and they can make a thing. So this leak for Grand Theft Auto 6 has to do with the game map. The entire game map reportedly was leaked. Now, if you'll remember, we did an update on this saying that the likelihood that we will see this game, this is an official word, the likelihood that we will see this game before the end of 2023 is nil. It will not be out by then. Potentially 24 and very likely by 25, Grand Theft Auto 6 will be out. So if you look at it that way, at the earliest, we are 3 years away from this game existing. So the thought that it's the entire game map could be leaked somehow is a little ridiculous. Now, the reason I say this has kind of been refuted already is because we do have other leakers saying, no, this is way too early. Same thing I'm saying. 100% believe that that is a true situation. So likelihood that this, I'm going to put this in single digits. We're looking at 5% chance that this is a legitimate leak. This is very likely just some guy with way too much time on his hands. So moving right along, we're talking about another video game leak, Gran Turismo 7. This one, though, was kind of, came from PlayStation. So there's a little bit more reason to believe this one might be true. So Gran Turismo 7, it's not anything crazy, just the fact that they're going to do an early beta so that the fans can get in on the beta before the game officially releases. This is kind of the way of the industry anymore, so that makes sense. The leak comes from the official PlayStation website, so that lends a whole lot of credence. That doesn't necessarily mean that it is legit. There's a million different reasons why this thing could have been put on the website the way it was. It could have been somebody misunderstanding information they were given. It could have been somebody who jumped the gun and the official decision to do a beta in this manner hadn't been made yet, but there was talks about it. So they put it up on the website and then took it down immediately because maybe they changed their mind and they're not actually going to do the beta. It's again, there's any number of reasons why something accidentally got put up on a website for, I think it was like a day or two, and then was pulled down pretty quickly. So the likelihood, though, that this leak comes true, that we do see an early release beta for Gran Turismo 7, is pretty strong. The other fact, the other side of this that has kind of gotten the nerd community up in arms is that it's going to be only on PlayStation 5. So we have two percentages here. First percentage that they do an open beta. I'm going to put that relatively high. I would say that's about 65% likely. I'll go even one better. We'll say 70% likely that they do an open beta for the game. As far as its exclusivity to PlayStation 5 and no release on PlayStation 4, I'm going to put that at 95% because that is the way of things. I don't know that there's ever been a Turismo game that was simultaneously launched on multiple Sony platforms. Correct me if I'm wrong, because there is a possibility, but I don't know. I remember from Gran Turismo 1, man, it's all the way up through. It's never been multi-platform release. So again, correct me if I'm misremembering that, but that is where we stand right now. So our next one is an actual movie rumor, and this one has to do with Matrix 4. This one's kind of been floating around for a little while, and we have a new take on it. We did cover it and the first time it was rumored, and now there's a little bit more evidence to support, so it's probably going to get a little bit higher likelihood. But we have, from Matrix 4, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II will, in fact, be playing a younger version of Morpheus, which is why they don't have Lawrence Fishburne on the cast. I feel like this is pretty strong. We also have heard rumors about the possibility of it being a time travel issue, or a time travel movie rather. And also there's another rumor floating around right now that we're not going to give any real credence to, saying that it's going to be a 60-year jump into the future and that Niobe is going to be aged up and weird things. That one seems a little less likely unless that their time travel goes forward and backward. But again, there's way too many variables and way too much silly attached to that rumor. But Yahya Abdul-Mateen II being Morpheus seems pretty plausible. There's a lot of variables here as well, but I feel like there's just as many on the pro side as there are on the con side. So we're going to put this at 50% just because it really, really could go either way. Our next rumor has to do with Luther. Idris Elba and company are reportedly going to be moving into the Netflix area in order to make a movie that's apparently going to close the story from the series. That part was kind of a little bit of a gray area as to what ground this movie would cover should it exist. This is pretty huge in that the nerddom around this, all of the fandom around the Luther series is pretty ravenous and large. So it kind of makes sense that they would do this. I feel like being pretty specific with, oh, that's going to Netflix, kind of does a little bit of damage to the credence here. So we're going to put this probably, I'm going to put this one right about, we'll give this one the 65% likelihood that this is legit because, again, pretty big ravenous. Will we see a Luther movie eventually? I feel like if that was the question, it would go a little bit higher, but because we do have that specific Netflix injection, that kind of kills it a little bit, but that is what we have for that. And then our final rumor has to do with Spider-Man, and this one was inevitable. because we addressed this in the previous episode, the what if situation is going to spurn a lot of rumors, is going to spawn rather a lot of rumors to come out. And so we're going to have to address all of the bigger ones. This one though, because we'll just get into this. So the rumor says that spinning out of the what if series is going to be a Spider-Man Disney Plus series. Animated series in the same vein as the What If. So it is very specifically saying in this rumor that it is not going to play into whatever stories we get out of What If. It's just going to be in a similar vein as far as the aesthetic goes. Has nothing to do with the Spider-Verse movie, though that would be really awesome if we got a whole freaking series involved there. But because Disney Marvel specifically has the TV rights for Spider-Man, just not the movie rights exclusively, this makes sense. Also, if they have an animation studio working on one movie, it only stands to reason, or one series rather, it only stands to reason they're going to want to try and capitalize on that relationship and get as much work out of them as possible. So that also lends itself to this. So I feel like we have actually a little bit of a strong possibility that this could happen. The only reason they brought up What If when talking about this rumor is to get people to listen, is what it sounds like. It honestly doesn't sound like there's going to be any actual connective tissue as far as the mythology goes between the What If series and this potential Spider-Man series. So likelihood that this rumor has any sort of credibility, I'm going to put that at about 60%. Can't go much higher than that just because we are way far away from anything. They don't know how well What If is going to do. They have a pretty good idea because of the popularity of the trailer, but still, by and large, that would be a little bit more of a gamble than I feel like Disney is willing to make. So, 60% likelihood that we are going to see this not really spin-off from the What If into a Spider-Man series. I really think that there's every bit of me says that the only reason whoever is leaking this or has the inside scoop on this, the only reason they brought in What If into this conversation is because of the popularity of that trailer. So that's why, because the other wording of this rumor, depending on where you're reading it from, the other wording of this rumor very specifically says, but it's not gonna be story-wise, it's not coming from What If. It's only the aesthetic, it's only the look, it's only the way it feels that's coming from it. So that is our rumor section, nerds. And that is the end of today's headlines, nerds. For more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, then jump over to nerdylegion.com, like I said at the beginning of the episode, and see all of the other podcasts that we offer on the subject. If you want some more generally nerdy things, like Comic-Con coverage and so on and so forth, then subscribe and follow me on all of the social medias, generally nerdy, or go join me on my personal YouTube channel for the longer version of the news show, and plus a bunch of other things. Again, Generally Nerdy is the name of the channel. So thank you very much, nerds. We will see you next time.